Good morning. It is good to be here. I'm glad to see all of you here in the house of the Lord. And if you're visiting with us this morning, thank you so much for being here with us. We're glad that you have chosen Lock Haven Baptist Church to come and worship at this morning. We are looking forward to what the Lord's going to have for us here in the morning service with the rest of the hour left. And I hope you get a blessing from the Word of God. We're thankful that we had a good turnout yesterday for the visitation and reaching out to our community. I tell you, it's an important thing that must take place in any church's life. If you're going to exist, you've got to get out into the community and let them know that you're here. It's very important. So, preacher, I just can't make it on those hours. Well, you have the tools available. There's tracks all over the church auditorium. Take those. Be in contact with people about Christ, about the church, about the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be excited about what you are involved in. So that we can get the message of Christ out to our community. Well, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do for us in 2015. It is going to be a good year in the Lord. Two things you need to mention real quick, Brother Jim talked about. One was the Scripture Day. Look, you need to be praying. How can I be involved with the Scripture portion of our ministry? How can I give financially to that portion of Lock Haven Baptist Church's ministry? Now, it's over above what you normally give. It's not, don't take away from that. This is something you ask the Lord. So, Lord, what should I give? That's up to you. You have to talk to the Lord. I can't give you a figure of a thought. That's between you and God. When it comes to offerings, that's the Lord. I want to do this, and I want to be involved in it. Show me what I should do in that particular area of giving. And then the men's retreat will be coming up in February. The first one we go to, be thinking about that. And then, of course, the one in April. And this year, we're adding another one-day ladies event. This will be in March over in Melbourne. So there'll be a one-day event plus the one in April, in the fall that you go to, the two-day event, ladies. But that more information coming toward that. So keep those in mind, things that we need to have in front of us so we can prepare for. Hebrews chapter 5 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 5. Verse number 12. We're going to finish up this here thought that we've been looking at the last three Sundays. Things that hinder spiritual growth. And I do believe that this morning that should be very important to you as a Christian, spiritual growth. Very, very important to you. And we looked at certain areas in the Word of God already. Actually, five different areas that would hinder spiritual growth. Can anybody name one of the five that we looked at last 2 weeks ago? Neglecting God's Word. Number one on the list. This is number one. Boy, I'll tell you, we have a problem with that. We really do. And we need to stick to our plan to spend time in God's Word, learn from God's Word, and apply it in our life. Anybody else? One more. False teachers comes about because of neglecting God's Word. If you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to know who to follow, who to listen to? They sound good. They can please the ear. You just take off running. You know, the flesh desires to hear things that are good and pleasing to it, the flesh that is. But that's not always what the flesh needs to do, needs to hear. It needs to hear the truth of the Word of God there. And so after that, we looked at controlling the tongue and looking at how that would hinder spiritual growth. Because if you're talking about somebody or bad-mouthing somebody, There is no way that you can be praying for them, and prayer is part of spiritual growth. I read this chapter last week. Hold your place, Hebrews 5, 4, read again. But there's something in James I wanted you to see. James, if you'd flip over there. This verse just got in my mind and I could not get it out. James chapter 3. And I'm really looking and digging around into this verse to see if there's a possibility of preaching several different Sunday mornings on this. James chapter 3 and verse 18. Of course, this whole chapter is talking about controlling the tongue. And it mentions in there, can bitter waters come out of, and sweet waters come out of the same fountain? There's just no way. But here in verse 18, this verse really stuck in my mind. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And boy, that's really stuck in my mind there. And the only way to control, to have peace, of course, you're going to have to control your tongue. Well, Pastor, sometimes I just want to say something. Yeah, I know. But it's not always good to say. It's not always best to say. Well, they just did wrong. They're not doing right. Are you greater than God? The Holy Spirit of God can control all that. He lives inside of us, and we're His children. And He will help us in those areas that we're doing wrong in there. So hindering spiritual growth, being hindered by not controlling the tongue, showing partiality was the next one that would hinder spiritual growth. And we have to be very careful with that one as well, because to be honest with you, there are certain people and some people that we like better than others. It's just that it's natural. You know, they have same likes, same dislikes. They enjoy the same things that we do, and from the same general area and part of the world that we're from. And so we're easy to get caught up in showing partiality. So be very careful with that, because that will hinder spiritual growth. Can you imagine would be for a moment if the Ethiopian eunuch had not listened to Peter? Or Peter had been partial. I ain't talking to him. What did I need to say to him? So be very careful with that, you know, because spiritual growth begins with salvation. The Ethiopian eunuch would have never grown spiritually if he had never been saved. Peter, by failing not to go and witness to that man about the Lord Jesus Christ, would have shown lack of spiritual growth. So keep that in mind. Showing partiality among people will hinder spiritual growth. And then making excuses. Well, we make a lot of those, don't we? Make excuses. Why I can't, what I need to do, what I want to do. I would do that, but I can't because I can't speak right. I'd be involved in that. And so we make many, many excuses. I would grow spiritually, but the flesh hinders me. Of course. The flesh and spirit war against each other. They're contrary one to the other, the Bible says in Galatians. So that is true, but you cannot use that as an excuse to not have spiritual growth. Why you can't? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Add to your faith. God desires for us to grow. He desires for us to not always be sucking on a bottle drinking milk. He desires for us to get into the meat of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Let's read our text again, and then we'll look at the last two this morning. Hebrews 5, 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which by the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Boy, look at that verse there, verse 14. This is a thought that came to my mind, that we're to exercise ourselves, exercise our minds, that we may be able to discern both good and evil. There's a lot of folks who don't have a problem in the world of discerning what is evil. What's with, boy, they can point it out in a moment. And they line, they just lay it out there. This is wicked, that's wicked, this is wicked, that's wicked. Lord, they can learn to discern both good and evil. Then there's those that, boy, that they're just stuck on the good. Man, this is good, that's good, that's good, everything's good. And they're blind to the evil. We need to be able to discern it. We need to be able to look at it and see that this is good and this is evil. You know, there is a difference. If you can't discern between the two, you become one that becomes calling that good evil and that which is evil good. You got to have a discernment about yourself, preacher. That's elementary. You can do that. Well, it must not be elementary because God says of those of full age. We have a problem with it. You know why our problem is discerning both good and evil? Because we allow the flesh to make the decisions when we should be walking in the Spirit. I'm just to be honest with you, the Spirit will keep us out of a lot of trouble if we yield ourselves to it. God's a Spirit, let's worship Him both in spirit and in truth. And but when we walk in the flesh, we stand in the flesh, make decisions in the flesh, and we wonder why there's no spiritual growth. Fifth thing that we looked at last week was making excuses. The sixth thing today that will cause hindrance to our spiritual growth is to neglect the means of grace that has been provided. Hebrews, if you would, for a moment, chapter number 10. Hebrews, chapter number 10. Neglecting the means of grace that has been provided for us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So, preacher, what is so important about assembling ourselves together? Well, the Bible says that we should not do it. We should not do it. It's important that we should not do it, because if you would, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. This is why it's so important. In Ephesians 5:25, you find God telling us that we are to love our wives as Christ did what? And did what? Gave Himself for it. If it is so important that God would say to us, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, that means some have done it. This is where we huddle up. This is where we come apart from the cares of the world. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. This is where we come together to exercise grace and mercy and to learn of the things of God, and where we get into the Word of God to study, to show ourselves approved, that we look around and we say, hey, I'm not alone in this. Hey, it gets tired sometimes standing alone. It gets tired sometimes being the only one that seems in our mind that's doing right. There was a prophet, and God said to that prophet, I have got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. What was he saying? You're not alone. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was three, but they weren't alone. It may seem the minority, but they weren't alone. This is going to tell you something different. We come together in this sitting so that we might understand and minister and edify and build up the hurt. You know what happens? If I've been blessed this week and I've been, God has been good to me, and I come together, you know, and there's that spirit about me, not a proud spirit, not a lifted up haughty spirit, but there's that spirit of blessing about me, and somebody else come in, and they've had a horrible week. Man, they've had 3 flat tires. They've had a fan belt break. You know, and their wife didn't have any pantyhose on to wrap around to get going to make another fan belt to get to the parts store. You know, and you got to the grocery store, and they went to check out the groceries, and they got up there, and there was 6 items left, and they didn't have enough money. You know, some of you have never been there before. That means you've been blessed. When you get to go to the grocery store, dear friend, and it just keeps ringing up. I remember used to, you could go to the grocery store, leave with $50 worth of groceries, and you had 7 bags. Now you leave with 2 bags. I've been in line, dear friend, and there's been folks ahead of me that got to the end, and they couldn't get any more. They had to, I can't have this one. Can you sit this one back? Well, there's probably some people here today that maybe went through that this week. And your spirit of blessed and being blessed should encourage them. Not being proud. Oh, man, I get to go through the grocery store and I get everything I want. It's about knowing I'm a child of God. And it rubs off. It encourages, it edifies, it builds up, it exhorts someone else to say, hey, they may have had it bad today, but tomorrow it might be my turn. Listen, I can bless them with a good spirit of encouragement and lifting up. But we neglect it. Somehow or another, we've put church kind of way down here at the bottom line, but the Bible says that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. How about Acts verse 41? Chapter 2, verse 41. Let's start there. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And guess what happened afterwards? Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions or goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread and house to house, did eat their meat with the gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what? The church is very important. You know why it's important to assemble ourselves together, dear friend? Fellowship. For caring for one another, you know, for prayer, for worship. Oh, preacher, but I worship any place and anywhere. Yeah, but is it real systematically worship? I'm good at the ball game. Yeah, I know it. You go to the ball game one time a month. Do you really worship there, though, or are you really there to watch the ball game? Oh, I can do it while I'm fishing. Yeah, you sure can. But are you really there to fish or to worship? Oh, I can do it while I'm playing golf. Are you really there to get a hole in one and to worship? You go to the golf course to play golf, if I'm just to be honest with you. If I'm going fishing, I'm going fishing. If I'm going to play football, I'm going there to watch football. I'm not going purposely to worship. Can I worship in that? Sure. Nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, you should. It should be something that you do. When you drive up on that golf course and you see the greens out there and how beautiful it is, if any of you play golf, be thankful that you're not playing golf out in the desert somewhere. Can you imagine trying to hit a golf ball out in the desert? Wouldn't go too well, would it? You have that beautiful green grass, trees, and all that. If you're out there on the lake and you're going to go fishing, be thankful. Spend a moment in prayer, a time in prayer, and blessing God for His creation and allowing you that opportunity. But you're there to fish. You're not there to worship. Oh, that is not true, preacher. Okay, next time you go to the golf course, home, just leave your golf clubs at home. Take your Bible and go out on the ninth hole and worship. Next time you're going fishing, leave your poles and your mate, your hunt. You're going hunting? Hey, leave your gun and bow and all that at home and go worship. You're not going there to do that all. You can do it there, but you're not going for that purpose. When you came to church today, what did you come to do? You came to meet with God. Oh, no, preacher, I came over to see what Sister So-and-so was wearing. You came for the wrong purpose, dear friend. There's no fashion shows around here. Matter of fact, 9 out of 10 of them probably got their dress that they have or the outfit that they're wearing, they got it on clearance. No, preacher, I buy mine first class right off the... It doesn't matter. I couldn't tell the difference. You didn't impress me too much with what you wore. I'm impressed with the fact that you took time out of your life to come here to meet with God. It's not about what you wear and what you not wear. It's the purpose you came for. Preacher, I've been hurt this week. You came anyway to worship, to pray, to intercede. That's why it's so important not to neglect the house of God. It's needful in your life. Well, why is it so needful? Because there's other people here going through the same problem that you're going through, and you can encourage, they can encourage you. There's people that come and visiting this morning and other times and other services. They say, man, they're just a bunch of just normal people with problems. How do you know they're normal people? Look at the cars out there. No Jaguars out there. No Porsches. Normal people with needing paint jobs. Probably some of you need tires to put on your car, but you're still here. Why? You took time out. It was important to you. And when they come here and they say, man, if it's important for them to be here, then it must be important. Quit neglecting what's important. The house of God is important. And if you neglect the house of God, dear friend, I'm telling you, you're not going to have spiritual growth. It's not true, preacher. Then how can you love it like Christ loved? He gave Himself for it. Okay, let's move on. Go with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to spend a little bit more time on this one because it's really going to hit home. Probably more so than the other. I know this morning I was preaching at the choir about neglecting the church because you're here. I know I was preaching, but you know, Sunday evening's coming around. Wednesday evening is coming around. Amen. 1 John chapter 2. I know y'all thought I was going to stay away from that. Man, why? He preached on the church and didn't even mention that we have church on Sunday evening. I just had to get that out there so you remember. I know that most of the problem is the reason you don't show up on Sunday evening is you forgot. That's a long time away from Sunday morning to Sunday night. And Lord, help Wednesday. That's eons, Pastor. How can we remember we have church on Wednesday? How many days away that is? I mean, that's like 3 days down the road. That's why we have it every Wednesday. Keep it, keep doing it. Catches on. I've been very pleased, though, church. I really have. Our Wednesday evening services are actually excellent. We have a good time around here, and I enjoy it. But it has been really good in attendance, so I appreciate that. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. Now we'll move on. I got that out of the way. If you can't advertise for yourself, you're in trouble. I mean, what kind of preacher would say, I'm just going to meet up at the church by myself on Wednesday night, Sunday night. I'm just going to have fun. That's not why I do it. I do it because I want to meet with you guys and have fellowship with you and enjoy you people. Spiritual growth, dear friend, is hindered by our alliances to this world. And this is going to get us. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We need to look at where our allegiance lies. We started out with neglecting the Word of God. Some of us didn't get that 2 Sundays ago because we haven't spent much time in the Word of God this past couple of weeks. It's just not enough for you to get Bible while I'm opening mine and telling you to turn here. You've got to find time where you can get it yourself. And get in there and get it yourself. But our allegiance. And it doesn't matter what it is or where it is. If your allegiance to this world is contrary to what the Bible says, dear friend, you cannot have spiritual growth. Give an example. Well, here's an example. Take just for instance the right to choose life or not to choose life. I know a lot of folks that for some reason or another, they believe it's really okay that a lady be able to choose what happens with that which is in her body. I believe that too. Honestly, I do. I believe she has a right to choose. She should have chose to keep that from happening. She should have abstained. So I believe some of you got about to get up and walk out of here, didn't you? I believe that there's a choice. And the choice is there before it happens. There before it ever happens. And if we make good choices before it happens, we're not stuck in that moment of fear of making a decision what to do with that child. It's a child. But we're so caught up with our allegiance to this world that we can't make that. You know why they have it? The abortions happen? Because of the allegiance that lie way up here. Well, before we get to the clinic, it's here. Well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with really holding hands and necking and cuddling and kissing. Really? You bypass that, avoid that, abstain from that, you'll never get here. You won't have to make this decision if you make good decisions over here. You make choices here so that you don't have to tell mom and dad. So that they don't have to make that choice, or you make that choice. What allegiance? What about the movies and the television sitcoms that we watch and we enjoy that are entertaining to the flesh, that are contrary to the Word of God? That means my allegiance is to that, the world, because the world says it's okay. The world says, but that's the world. And if we listen to the world, that is not of the Father. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We can't say, well, society says it's okay. Society is not the plumb line.
Amen.
Listen, for that goes, our church is not the plumb line if it's not lined up with the Word of God.
Amen.
The plumb line is, am I in allegiance with the Father or with the world?
Amen.
Look, preacher, it's just times have changed. And so things have changed. You're right. Things, times. But God's Word's absolute. And it changes not.
Yeah.
Now listen, let me preface this with saying that if you have or had a loved one or you're contemplating an abortion, I'm not against you. I'm not.
Amen.
I love you. And I know that you've had pain and you've had heartbreak from that experience. That's not what we're about. We're not against you. Yeah, you are against us. No, we're not against you. It doesn't matter, listen, whether the sin is homosexuality, abortion, fornication, drunkenness, gambling, lying, gluttony. It does not matter. We're not against you. God says that those areas and many, many more are not right. And it all goes back to where our allegiance is. If I align myself with this world, dear friend, of course abortion is going to be okay. Of course same-sex marriage is going to be okay. Of course fornication is going to be okay. I mean, after all, preacher, you got to try it out to see if you like it. That's worked out for us real well, hasn't it, in the last, 40 decades. Yeah, probably.
Right.
Because they've tried it out a lot longer than what we think it.
Yeah.
It's worked real well, hasn't it? You know how many single moms there are now trying to raise children?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, guys, you like the lust of the flesh. Girls, they only want one thing. And when they get it, you're stuck with it. They're moving on to the next one. Because we have to understand, dear friend, it's where our allegiance lies. I cannot make, listen, if I dabble and fool around in the midst of the fire, I can't make a decision to get out when it's all over. I'm on fire. So I have to make my allegiance before the incident. I have to make a choice. I have to, get over here and say, listen, God's Word says that this and that and this. I knew it. Another one of those churches that's against everything. Well, as the pastor of the church, I have to tell you, I am against STDs. You wouldn't get them if you abstain. Yes, I don't know. I guess that if we look at it like you want to look at it, we can look at it. I can give you some logical reasons. Am I against crack? Well, it's really helped us, haven't it? We ought to have crack house in every corner, make it legal everywhere. Oh, preacher, you're against medical marijuana? Yes! Yes, I am. It's not going to, look at California. Look at Colorado now. It's the New Mexico. And so forth and so on and so on. And as we go, it's the allegiance. Well, preacher, I can get help with that. we've got to align ourselves with what's right. And the love of this world is not right. It's not of the Father. If I want spiritual growth, dear friend, I'm going to have to make sure my allegiance lies with God. There's no other way around it. And I can go on and on and on with the way we make allegiance. But how about we just look at what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be closing. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and their thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and man. That's what the Word of God says. You can't mouth the things of God and live the things of the world. It doesn't work. You can't do it. Your allegiance must lie with God. Remember the example I told you last Sunday about the survey that was done on college campuses all around? That they're starting to talk about this thing called post-birth abortions. Where did that come from? Because we didn't make allegiances way back there.
Amen.
To where now it's acceptable that a 14-year-old girl can get an abortion without her parent's consent, even up to full term almost, to post-birth. The survey said even up to 4 to 5 years of age, because they are not aware of themselves yet. But they tell me homosexuals are born that way. See the circle of reason? It's a choice. They're not born that way. It's pleasurable to the flesh. It's pleasure. We make choices. Post-birth. Well, preacher, that's not going to happen. They're killing seniors now all around the world. It ain't going to happen. We never thought that a man and a man could marry each other, a woman and a woman could marry each other. I'm telling you this, if the Lord tarries, they'll be marrying donkeys and horses and cows and dogs. Amen. Well, how do you know? Well, they're selling dog insurance right now. They are. Preacher, that's cruel. No, it's not cruel. It's the natural dissension of sin. It doesn't stay, it doesn't just level off.
Amen.
It gets down and down and down. That's, you know why I'm against medical marijuana? Because next they'll be smoking crack. Oh, it's not addictive. Really? Talk to all those guys who came back from Vietnam. It's very addictive. Oh, it helps me to get past the pain. We can go on and go on and go on. That's why women stay with their abusive situation they're living in. Being beat. Wondering where he's at tonight. Or him. Wondering where she's at tonight. Our allegiance. For you school teachers, protect yourself. Every time I turn the newspaper, turn on the television, turn on the radio, there's another teacher having sex with students. Protect yourself. Why'd that happen? Sin. Just keeps going down. You promote people like Miley Cyrus. That's what happens. You head off to the places that allow nakedness just to run rampant. You can't control the flesh. No, there's no way. Let's stand to our feet.